Hey, everybody. We're coming to you live from Mobile World Congress, the end of day two, and I have the distinct pleasure to sit here with a frequent guest, Nick McGuire from CCS Insight, and Nick's going to do a day two recap for us. So, Nick, introduce yourself to listeners who haven't met you before.
Hey, everybody. Nick McGuire. I thought I had to throw that in again. I feel like I've got like special rights to that that intro, Brian. So that's why I landed it.
To be clear, Nick, just for that, I'm going to let everybody know that today is Nick's birthday.
Oh.
We won't tell him how old you are, but it is your birthday today.
Okay, I deserve that.
Finish your introduction.
Yeah,
tell us a little bit about
Nick
yourself.
McGuire. I lead CCS Insights Enterprise Research. So yeah, you know, obviously known you for a long time, Brian, longstanding analyst covering mobile in the business space. This will be my 15th consecutive MWC.
And you actually you actually just finished moderating a CIO panel here.
That's right. The first one they've done, which is all CIO for the first time. They've covered the enterprise in the past, largely just with the vendors, right? So
that was a first. And, you know, you're a little bit different. We had Caroline on for the day zero recap. We had Sasha on for the day one recap.
Yep.
You were going to get probably a little bit different take of, you know, MWC and what you're seeing from the enterprise side and what you're seeing from vendors and actually some of the stuff you've actually seen today and heard around Mobile World Congress 2016.
Yeah, I mean, it's a real mixed bag, if I'm honest, for this year. Because on one hand, I would argue that we've probably seen less enterprise announcements than we've seen in the past. But the ones we've seen have been a fairly big deal. So it's, you know, it's I don't know kind of where I land, because I remember this time last year we'd seen a ton of stuff. I mean, we saw Android for Work for one launch here last year, in addition to all the S6 stuff that Samsung announced, Enterprise played a massive role in that launch last year. This year, obviously, with the S7, Enterprise is in there, but it's not a headline for them. It was more or less within the top two or three themes of the S6 the year before. But you know, we've seen a number of different really, you know, I think really interesting announcements overall. I mean, obviously, you know, Samsung is in that mix. I mean, I think what they've launched with the, you know, enterprise device program, on the business market side, Monday.
Which, and they have their own Knox Pavilion here.
And, you know, what they're doing is what's required. I mean, they're getting closer to Google. There's engineering efforts going on between them. There's more clarity between Android for Work and Knox itself, I think, which is part of that release within the EDP. But most importantly, they're tackling updates, right? They're trying to get better at providing service levels to the enterprise around update controls and managing Android. So that was all EDP. I think that was pretty interesting. I think the big news, and you know, obviously there's still a lot of IoT action here, but we'll come to that, I would imagine, in a minute. But you know, obviously the big news was today, right? At you know, at the VMware event with the app config community. I mean, that's a fairly big deal. In the context of, you know, enterprise mobility.
So why don't you actually tell people what the app config community is and why it's such a big deal?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think it's first of all, it's long coming. But, you know, as many of your listeners will know, that, you know, developers and organizations face a lot of challenges around applying standardized security to applications largely through the kind of fragmented mixed array of SDKs and MAM wrapping technologies that exist out there, which make it very difficult for ISVs to scale their applications. It's costly and it's expensive. It slows the time to market. And it's just generally held things back. It's created a lot of complexity in the market. So App Config Community is an attempt by, you know, intriguingly four competitors, staunch rivals in the industry, MobileIron, VMware, VMware AirWatch, Jamf, and IBM, to achieve some standardization of native OS app configuration controls. Apply a little bit more structure and guidance and best practices to the world, to the ecosystem, to the customer base around app configuration and security controls. So it's long coming because it's an attempt at deriving some standards. You still have SDKs out there, right?
Well, they're not going to go away because you're still going to have individual businesses and enterprises that if they develop their own app,
that's right,
will probably end up using them. But the apps that the software companies that want to actually develop apps for the enterprise, it makes sense for them to use app config.
100%. And I think one of the key things around that that isn't actually really discussed. I mean, it wasn't really that discussed today, even on the panel at the announcement at VMware, is the fact that the current state of affairs actually undermines security. If you're a developer and you need to inject 5 or 6 different SDK codings into your application, stability, performance, liability on.
That's just the amount of work. It means you have 6 different apps in the app store. You got to make sure the person picks the right one. Nobody knows, and it's a lot of development time.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I think it can, to an extent, even undermine the security itself of the application, which isn't a good place to be if you're, responsible for security of applications in the EMM community. So it was a necessary step to do this, and that's why I think it was a big deal. Obviously, the elephant in the room is Microsoft and, what direction they're going to take, because obviously Microsoft will have the Windows 10 team highly interested in this. On the other hand, the Office team and the EMS team will likely, no doubt, not be that interested in this, at least early indications are showing. So it presents some interesting
Absolutely.
Conversations and evolutions in the market over the next 12 months, for sure.
So as you walk the floor today and the last 2 days, other than phones, what stood out to you? Because you've seen the Huawei 2-in-1 Mate.
Yes.
There are a couple other people here who are making plays at the enterprise. Anything stand out to you or any themes?
I mean, it's great. You've raised some really interesting topics there. I mean, I think this year, early on the event, you're just taken back by the amount of 2-in-1. So, if anyone that walks away from this event this year, Windows 10 is the winner. I mean, there are, you've seen, Alcatel, Huawei, HP, all put out a huge range of high-end and mid to low-end 2-in-1 products, some with LTE, some with just Wi-Fi, some on high-end processors, some on non-mobile-oriented processors. So it's a real mix now of 2-in-1s out there, and Surface is obviously in that hero range. But if you're wanting to go downstream, there's a lot of choice out there for you. I think that was definitely early on in this MWC, because it still is highly, there's still a lot of gadget bling here, right? There's still a lot of device launches and a lot of devices.
It's all gadget bling.
That's it, yeah.
But so taking a look at the HP Windows Phone, what stood out to you about that? You see that as a hero? You see that as a dud, or you still undecided?
I'm still a little bit undecided, but I think it's certainly enterprise grade, right? I mean, all the biometrics and security features they're putting into that, and the targeting of that device is there. There's no question, and it's a natural path for them to focus into that space. So if clearly out of the box and on the on paper, it looks like a high-end enterprise grade productivity led device. Obviously. The question is, this stuff's like jewelry still, and will users want it, and will they be comfortable with it? So it's a little bit too early to tell. And obviously, to an extent, as we know, phone, Windows Mobile 10, Windows 10 Mobile, however you define
Windows
it.
Windows Phone.
Yeah, and Windows Phone, right? They're all collapsing into one, but at the same time, they're does face some uphill challenges. On my part of the world, it is successful. 30-40% year-on-year growth into the commercial market, but those are the low cost, kind of mid-tier range.
Those are the low-end phones that may not be able to do continuum
phone.
Stuff.
The flea phones. Some of them are on phone 8.3. Those were kind of mid-range devices. You're right. Most of them that. The 650, I think it is, doesn't run
640,
650 doesn't run Continuum. So the flagship runs Continuum 950, 950
Absolutely.
XL.
Then, yep.
So those devices, are targeted at the high end. So, but really, where the battle is, open, is those you know, replacing those fleet devices, right? That mid-range device. Because over in my side of the world, you know, many organizations haven't, you know, gone full BYOD. So they buy corporate devices en masse still, but they can't afford S6s. They can't afford, you know, S7s. They can't afford iPhones. I was with British Telecom the other week. They have close to 20,000 refurbed iPhones because, you know, they do all their engineering on iPhone. They're shifting all that to Windows Phone or Windows 10 Mobile because they can get those devices cheaper and more effective. So, when you're buying bulk like that, it's hard to justify a high-end device for that number of users.
So let's talk. You actually managed to sit with a bunch of enterprises themselves. Forget the vendors while you're here.
Yes.
What are you hearing from them as, you know, they walk around the show and what they're seeing? And are they still seeing this as useful or is it becoming more of a bling? Because using your terms, you called it a bling show earlier.
Exactly. It is it still has the gadget bling side to the show, an operator side to the show. You know, I think you get a real mix. I think a lot of them have always been here, but they don't come here formally, right? So they come here, blow the radar, and they walk the floor, and they look for innovation. You know, it was interesting to hear Isabel, you know, the CIO of TUI Fly. I mean, she was here today. She spent all her time in the startup village. You know, just trying to look for startups and companies that are doing different things.
And actually, I think the startup village is an interesting place to look because they're not the traditional gadget bling and other types of companies. They're companies developing mobile apps and mobile
solutions. Exactly right. Exactly right. And, you know, you'll also find people here on IoT. So, you know, trying to look at IoT, you know, projects or IoT companies and learn more about IoT. And frankly, there aren't that many places that where you can come with scale that will give you that on such a condensed, you know,
so,
but on such a scale.
So
as
hearing
well.
That, I did an interview with a podcast with Rob Tiffany earlier, which doesn't come out till next week. You're going to come out first. But Rob's big comment from walking the floor before our podcast was 90% of the booths here have added the word IoT. They're not doing IoT, but they've added the word IoT to their booth. And it's like, it's all you see.
Exactly, yeah.
How much true IoT solutions do you see here? How easy is it to get the value that you need to if you're an enterprise walking through and everything's screaming, I do IoT at you?
Good question. I think most of them will have a very specific need. So it'll either be an analytics tool or it'll be a specific sensor that aggregates information across a very specific use case. They'll be blinded by the broad IoT, you know, messaging and bells and whistles that are existing all across the show floor. And you know, there's still a lot of kind of consumer, you know, connected car, you know, connected home use cases here at MWC. In the enterprise, you know, the enterprise or industrial IoT, I would say that gets probably less of the noise here. So therefore, those that are, you know, in the need for, you know, understanding that space will probably be a little bit more below the radar, focusing more on trying to find those specific companies in that arena.
So we have to wrap up in a couple minutes. I know you have a meeting to go to. I'll keep you as long as you want. You know me, Nick. We could talk forever. But that being said, you know, as you walk through, you just finished the CIO panel, the first one of just CIOs.
Yes.
What are some nuggets that were shared by the CIOs there?
I mean, there's some interesting, really interesting use cases. I mean, obviously, many of them are still challenged with engagement of the business and working with the business on innovation broadly. You know, you've got a real range of industries. So the purpose was to, you know, apply a range of different industries, financial, you know, oil and gas, airlines, and an industrial rental equipment company to kind of give that kind of mixed point of view. I think the engagement of the business is still difficult. Meeting expectations of users is still a very, you know, top of mind issue. What was interesting is, like, you know, I'm prepared to reveal this. I think a lot of them in the pre-calls talked about security, right, as being a problem.
Yeah, but, you didn't have enough time to spend on
we
it.
We didn't spend enough time on it. I think, frankly, a lot of them have, you know, these guys are the business innovators of the company. They're not the InfoSec guys. So their teams are the guys that kind of derive the security strategy. So I think their comfort levels to kind of go deep around security, you know, wasn't that high. And that was kind of the intentional side as well, because we wanted to focus more on business value, business enablement side of the house as well. But I think if that's probably one area that we probably could have gone deeper with, it would have been that for sure.
And final thoughts as a wrap up of day two. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's definitely been the bigger enterprise day. And I, you know, I haven't even had a chance to catch the latest press releases that have come out. But I think on balance, as I said earlier, I think we've seen less noise here on enterprise this year than last year. Partly that's because we saw a lot of pre-release. I think what happened last year is a lot of people launched, announced here, and then felt they got lost in the noise. So now what we do is that, because there were a ton of announcements pre. You know, Google made some announcements. Obviously, you guys made a ton of announcements. AppConfig landed here. AppConfig community landed here. You know, Samsung made some announcements. But the majority, you know, some of the bigger name stuff, particularly, you know, from you guys, was pre MWC as well. So. I think that's kind of my main takeaway for today, apart from the fact that, you know, I think the biggest story in enterprise mobility is obviously the AppConfig. I think it's garnered a lot of interest from the customers that I've been here talking about it, because they haven't even heard about it today as well. So so we'll see what tomorrow brings. There's always occasionally the odd drip feed of news coming out
Wednesday. So, Nick, I want to thank you for joining me on the show yet again.
Thank you. Thank you, Brian. I love being on it.
And, you know,
appreciate it.
We'll get you on again here in another 6 months or so, either
Absolutely.
In Canada or down in Atlanta or somewhere else.
Awesome.